Okay, welcome everyone. Thank you for joining us today. I'd like to welcome our viewers watching on NBC Sports Bay Area, on sfgiants.com, on the Giants Facebook page, and via the NBC Sports Bay Area My Teams app. So joining us for today's press conference is Giants President and CEO Larry Baer. And I would like to welcome new Giants President of Baseball Operations, Farhan Zaidi. Before we get into the Q&A, we'll have Larry and Farhan with opening remarks, and then we'll do a quick photo opportunity, and then we'll get into questions and answers. So with that, I'll turn it over to Larry.
Great. Thanks, Matt. Good afternoon, everyone. I want to start with first with a shout-out and huge recognition for Brian Sabian, who's here with us. Brian has been the commander of the ship for essentially 26 years with his team and is going to remain involved with the Giants going forward. But I think before we get started, it is very appropriate to acknowledge what an amazing era of Giants baseball it's been. You all know the 8 playoff appearances and 4 pennants and 3 World Series. So I just wanted to acknowledge Brian and his group. Welcome, Farhan. This is truly exciting and seminal day for the Giants as we think we found the person who will take us through the next 26 years of Giants baseball. We set out to find a great baseball mind, and we believe that it was a tall task, and we, at the very beginning of the process, targeted several executives. We had a slight problem with Farhan because he was tied up with the playoffs, which went the better part of a month and made it difficult for us to talk. And we respected, of course, that process of letting Farhan be focused on his team going through Game 5 of the World Series. So we were patient. Duly noted that all the past 7 years of Major League Baseball, Farhan's been associated with playoff teams all the way since 2011, 3 with the Oakland A's and 4 with the Dodgers. We had an initial meeting on Friday, and first time we met last Friday, and we set it up as we had with other candidates for initial 2-hour block. The 2-hour meeting went 6.5 hours, and it was incredibly engaging, incredibly sort of some transformational thinking, maybe is the way I would put it. And beyond Farhan's very impressive intellect, what I felt, and then others verified when we did reference checks and others when they interviewed him, is that brings a great balance to his view of the game, his love for the game, and his love for all elements of the game and the way the elements come together to produce success. And that was sort of the overarching sentiment as we went through the discussion. I was especially interested to hear case studies of evaluations Farhan and his group over the years have made on players, and some of them were scouting based, some of them were analytics based, some of them were based on recommendations from players on the field on their team. It was quite compelling the way Farhan's been able to put together winning franchises throughout. I was talking to somebody called me when word got out that we were talking to Farhan, who is I'll leave his name out of it, but he's a on the field person, in uniform person, who said, let me just tell you, who's had a direct experience with Farhan, and said, let me just tell you something about Farhan. He's a great leader of people. He loves scouting. He loves listening. He loves players. Has the highest integrity possible. And he's super competitive. So you put all that together, It's a pretty good combination. And we're thrilled to welcome Farhan. And then one other thing, in our conversations, what was especially compelling given the Giants organization, the way we like to present ourselves, is that he had a very much of a values-based approach to management and to the organization and to leadership. And all of that made it a pretty compelling opportunity for us to bring Farhan to this organization. So welcome, Farhan.
Thank
you. You are listening to the Farhan Zaidi introductory press conference live on 95.7 The Game.
It's under 6.5 hours. Certainly try to do that. You know, I obviously, off the top, want to thank Larry. Want to thank the entire Giants ownership group for this opportunity. Super excited, as you can imagine. I do want to also thank the Los Angeles Dodgers. Mark Walter and the ownership group there, Stan Kasten, you know, Andrew Friedman, who I worked side by side with over the last 4 years, not just for my time with them, and it's a class organization, but also for giving me the opportunity to pursue this job with the Giants, you know, with a competitor. They were incredibly gracious about it and, you know, recognized the personal appeal that this area had to myself and my wife, given all the time we spent here. So I did want to thank them for that. Want to thank my wife, obviously, for her support. She is she couldn't be here today, but she's super excited about moving back up here and being around people that we spent many years with in the Bay Area. I want to thank Brian for his support through this process. We had a chance to sit down a couple of days ago. It was a productive conversation. I'm really looking forward to having more of those going forward. So, I mean, you know, the San Francisco Giants, I'm really blown away. I don't know if this came up in our conversations over the last few days, but the first Major League Baseball game I ever attended was in Candlestick Park in 1987. August 10, 1987. Candy Maldonado and Will Clark going back-to-back to win the game. It was a Will Clark walk-off. I don't even know if the term walk-off was around back then. But I thought all Major League Baseball games were that exciting. And I guess they aren't all, but that was a pretty good start to my experience with Major League Baseball. And so to kind of come full circle here today is pretty special. The last time I was in this building was the last day of the regular season. And I mentioned to Larry that I was up in the box as the game was ending and had a chance to watch the ceremony with Hunter Pence. You know, usually I'd kind of grab my stuff and head down to the clubhouse and kind of get going on that. But as that ceremony started, I wound up staying up there and got a chance to hear Hunter speak and Boach speak, you know, talking about the organization, how special it was, and their connection with the fan base. And, you know, on the last day of a tough season, the number of fans that were still there to show their support for Hunter and the entire team was really special to see. And, you know, I think for me, that was an embodiment of what this organization is and what it stood for, the job that Brian and his group have done, you know, the world championships, you know, the three world championships a few years ago, and, you know, the desire and strive for everybody to get back to that level. You know, I know there are going to be some questions about the direction of the team and how we're going to move this thing forward. You know, as I kind of thought through the best way to articulate my philosophy on that, I was reminded of something a front office executive in another sport shared with me about his head coach and something he'd say to his players when he walked into the locker room after a win. He would kind of address the team, and the last thing he would say before he walked out was, "Humble in victory." And, you know, as a competitor and someone who's been involved in professional sports, that really just sent chills down my spine. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase that and adopt that here and use the phrase humble in process. I think that's, you know, a good way for us to move forward in this organization. You know, there's a lot of use of the term rebuilding across professional sports. The way I see it in baseball is very different from the NFL or the NBA. Those are sports where you can hit the lottery in the draft and have one player who, a franchise quarterback, or, you know, a Michael Jordan who can turn around a franchise. And, you know, baseball is about the entire 25-man roster, and no one player and no one move is going to turn the fate of a franchise around. It takes hard work, and it takes humility, taking one step forward at a time, making one good baseball move after another, and I really feel like that's how we're going to get where we hope and intend to go. So just wanted to touch a little bit on that, on the direction. I'm sure there are more specific questions, but again, could not be more excited to be here. Thank you again to Larry and the Giants. Again, I appreciate the Dodgers allowing me to pursue this opportunity, and I'm just ready to go. Thank you.
You are listening to the Farhan Zaidi introductory press conference live on 95.7 The Game.
How are we doing this? I'm not giving him a jersey. You just do it.
Guess we didn't do the handshake again?
Yeah, handshake. There we go.
Great. So we'll get into questions. Just a reminder, if you do have a question, please raise your hand. We will get you a wireless microphone. And I just ask that you state your name and affiliation. So with that, we will open it to questions. Right here, Henry.
Hi, Farhan. Congratulations. Henry Schulman, San Francisco Chronicle. I'm just going to build off the last thing that you said. I mean, I think generally the three options that you hear about are trying to win now, maybe a short retool or tearing the thing apart and rebuilding it from scratch, even if it takes 3 or 4 years. Where do you see this organization, you know, in that sort of spectrum?
Right. I mean, we've had the opportunity to talk about that over the last few days, and you know, as Larry said, I've had the good fortune of being in the playoffs for a few years now, and you know, one thing that stood out to me, the thing that I appreciate most about that stretch is just playing meaningful baseball day in, day out, game in, game out. How energizing that is for the fans and for the players, you know, kind of playing out the string in a season where you're totally out of the playoff race. You know, it takes its toll on the fans, the players, the entire organization. So, you know, our goal is to play meaningful baseball as deep into the season and, you know, as soon as we can. And, again, as an example of what I was talking about earlier with kind of just making one good baseball move after another, I look at my, you know, former colleagues over across the bay with the Oakland A's and, you know, they traded for Chris Davis 3 off-seasons ago, coming off a season when they won 68 games. And they traded a couple of prospects to acquire this player who was heading into arbitration. And you look at that trade, and it's maybe not your typical move for a quote-unquote rebuilding team. But I think their mantra was, let's go out and identify value where we see it and just make this team better one move at a time. And, you know, they obviously reaped a terrific payoff for it this season. They made some other moves this past offseason. Steven Piscotty was another player they acquired, trading prospect capital away. And again, I think when you have that attitude and aren't too myopic about we're rebuilding, that means we're not going to sign free agents. That means we're not going to acquire veteran players. You know, you're going to leave a lot of opportunities on the table. So I just think where we are as an organization right now, we have to cast as wide of a net as possible and not put too many labels on what this process is going to be, other than try to make smart and sound decisions.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
Have you had a chance to talk to Bruce Bochy yet?
I have. I spoke to, I don't know if you have a...
Yeah, no, what did you guys kind of discuss in terms of what it might look like?
Yeah, it was really important for me to connect with Boch as early as possible. You know, I've had a chance to watch him from across the way these last few years, and even in my time in Oakland, he's a 3-time world champion. He's a Hall of Fame manager. You know, I don't think, you know, obviously we didn't get to these points in our career the same way or in a similar way, but, you know, I think that's part of the beauty of the game, you know, how we all wind up together and then pulling towards a common goal. So, you know, I know he'd have had the opportunity to talk to some people about their experience working with me, and, you know, and I don't need to do that. I know what kind of manager he is. You know, we spoke for about 5-10 minutes when I was on my way up to San Francisco, and I just told him how much I look forward to working with him, how much I feel I can learn from him. And, you know, just how excited I am to be here. And he was very welcoming, so it was a very positive conversation.
Hey, Farhan, Tim Kawakami, hey, Tim. The Athletic, how you doing? I'm sure Maz Mumgarner came up in discussions with Larry over those 6.5 hours or other discussions. I'm not asking you to give up any strategy, I guess, unless you want to. But are you open to thinking about trading Bumgarner, knowing his contractual situation? Are you closing the door on that? Where are you on Bumgarner right now?
Well, I have to say, anytime someone in the media asks me a question where I have an option of disclosing a strategy or not, I'm going to choose not to. So, but look, I understand the question, and the last time I was going through this kind of interview job transition process was in 2014, and I was in the Oakland airport watching the end of the 2014 World Series, and I saw Madison, you know, finish off that superhuman effort in that last game. And so, I mean, it's funny. I remember at the time thinking, you know, I'm working with the A's. I may be going to the Dodgers, two Giants rivals, and I can't help but, as a baseball fan, have such an appreciation for what this team and this guy have just done. So, he's been, a seminal pillar of this franchise for a long time, and that carries a lot of weight. You know, at the same time, you know, this is kind of day one for me. I'm eager to get opinions from a wide range of people on what they think makes sense in terms of a broader direction, and again, I think where we are, everything's got to be on the table in terms of how we move this team and roster forward.
You are listening to the Farhan Zaidi introductory press conference live on 95.7 The Game.
Position and accepted this position. Were you told that anybody on the roster was untouchable, so to speak? And how about the manager? Is that all up to you at this point?
Well, you know, right now I'm really more in a phase of trying to absorb everything from, you know, the expertise around me. Again, it was so great to get to spend time with Brian the other day. He's been around this organization for a long time. He knows these players and this roster better than anybody. I think the message that was delivered, and actually the message that I wanted to give was, you know, I see this as a collaborative process. I mean, the days where a general manager goes into his office and locks the door and comes out to announce three trades that he's made to the staff, I mean, things don't work like that anymore. The ideal process for me is one where you take input from a lot of different people and kind of try to reach consensus. And, again, I think the message that I've been given is, you know, we're at a point where we want to have maximum flexibility as an organization and make sure we're not missing any opportunities to get this thing moving in the right direction. So, there certainly hasn't been any talk about restrictions or, limitations in terms of doing what we think is right.
Farhan, congratulations.
Thank you.
Just looking at the front office you're inheriting, obviously a lot of continuity in that group. I think the assumption is that you're going to hire a general manager to work side by side with you, and obviously you have a farm director opening with David Bell going to the Reds. Will that be one of the first orders of business? Do you envision that being a quick process, and just who would you seek to look for?
Yeah, it's as Larry mentioned, this process wound up going pretty deep into the offseason already. I wish it had gone 3 or 4 days longer, but wasn't to be. It's a very competitive landscape out there in terms of getting permission, especially for highly regarded top-level employees with other teams. And as you get deeper into the offseason, it becomes harder to get those permissions. In that regard, moving as quickly as possible is going to be imperative. At the same time, I know Larry's kind of gone through a fairly extensive process of interviewing people, and I've talked to him about getting his feedback on people he thought might be good candidates. I certainly want to talk to other people in the organization about that. I do envision if the right candidate comes along, certainly would hope to get something done, but it's going to be a function of timing and finding the right person. The farm director position, probably have less of a luxury of time on that. But even if we don't find the perfect candidate externally, there's certainly people internally that can hold down the position and do what we need to do if it winds up being something that goes on a little longer or even into next off season.
Yeah, Scott Osler of the Chronicle. Hi, Farhan.
Hey, how are you, Scott?
To oversimplify, you coming here with Bochy, it's kind of new school meets old school, as I said, to oversimplify. How will you resolve any... Some people see a potential for conflict there and clashing. How will you resolve that, and who would have the final call on strategy, things like that?
Well, I'm glad you qualified it as being oversimplified, because that's how I was going to answer. It's a convenient narrative to see this as kind of a clash of schools of thought. I just don't see it that way at all. Again, had a really productive conversation with Boach, and as I said, I think I can learn a lot from him and the way he sees the game. He's a lot more experienced than I do. Again, I think there are things that I can bring to the table that give us an opportunity collectively to take a fresh look at how we do things. And again, I think if you get a chance to talk to managers that I've had the good fortune of working with, last two are both guys that have been managers of the year, Dave Roberts and Bob Melvin. I feel like those have been really productive relationships with a lot of ideas flowing both ways. I guess you'll have to corroborate that with them. They may have a different view of how those things went, but, I feel pretty confident that, they feel good about how our relationships evolved over time and kind of being in the trenches with these guys on a day-in, day-out basis. And, one thing that I've learned in my time in baseball, and maybe this should go without saying, but it really doesn't, is, the game's really hard, and managing is really hard. And it's easy to armchair manage. It's easy to watch a player and wonder why he swung at the slider down and away. Well, he's not trying to swing at a slider down and away. It's just hard to – it's a hard game. And, somebody who, doesn't have the most illustrious playing career on his resume, I think for me to always remember that and keep that in mind is – something that the players appreciate, because I think as much as anything, they want people to know that and appreciate the game isn't easy, and all we can ask for is full effort. And I guess the same goes for the manager. It's a tough game to manage. It's tough to manage personalities. It's tough when you're dealing with a series of 51-49 strategy decisions. And, it's not my goal to armchair manage at all. I want somebody who feels empowered to make those decisions and, just want us to be able to talk through strategies and the roster and everything that comes with running a team on a day-to-day basis together.
You are listening to the Farhan Zaidi introductory press conference live on 95.7 The Game.
Anything that is under the purview of the manager has final say, period. That is not even a question for me. So I didn't know whether, as far as managing the roster goes, I think that's in the purview of the front office. As far as the day-to-day management of the team, lineups, pitching rotation, bullpen, usage, that kind of thing, that's the manager's job. And as I see it, ideally those things work collaboratively. But to your point, when final say has to be had, I think it's in the domain of the person whose job description says that.
Hi, Farhan. Brian Murphy from KNBR, the Giants flagship station, to the morning show. Going to big picture, I'm pretty sure you're the first Giants bigwig to have gone from the A's to the Dodgers to the Giants. It's a very non-traditional path, and I'm interested in that thought process of joining two teams that you were probably dying to beat the last 15 years,
right,
and maybe the big picture appeal of this job.
Yeah, I know my family and friends are getting a little tired of having to exchange their wardrobes, their baseball team wardrobes out. I've kind of had a front row seat for the Giants over the last 14 years, between being in the division the last 4 years and then being across the bay for the previous 10. Seeing the three Giants parades on the local news and hearing my friends complain about how I was messing up their commutes. I had very firsthand experience with those. And, that's the goal. I hope we are messing up people's commutes with parades very soon. But again, I think having seen the Giants so recently achieve that kind of greatness, and I love this city, I love this area. whenever the Dodgers came up here to play series, I tried to make the trips because of my affinity for the area. And, you know, stay in a hotel in Union Square. And I always made a point. I never took the team bus. I'd always walk, you know, from Union Square to the park just to be able to take in the city. And, you know, those last few blocks when you start getting the critical mass of fans in their Giants gear kind of walking into the park, that's a really energizing thing. And, it's something that's really special about the city that I don't think you see in every city, in every urban ballpark. You know, for me, given my background, the diversity of the fan base is also really special, and I think gives the fan base a real sense of identity that, you know, is in very close knit with the city itself. So, you know, that's some of what, you know, I think makes the Giants special and has created a great respect and admiration on my part for the organization.
Over here, you're Rockaway.
Fine. What preconceptions that you had about this team from looking at them from Oakland and Los Angeles have you found to be true in your 2.5 hours/6 hours that you've been here? And which ones have proven to be false? What sort of rethinking have you had to do about where you are now that maybe you didn't have in the 10 years before?
Yeah, I mean, you try not to operate with those preconceptions, but I understand the question. I mean, you're always going to have impressions of an organization from the outside. And like I said, I've always had a lot of respect for this organization. Like I said, you win 3 world titles in 5 years, you're doing a lot right. It struck me, the themes of kind of flexibility that Larry talked about as we, you know, tried to roadmap out, you know, what the next few years would look like. I had a chance and I really appreciated the people from the office making the trip to meet with some of the business people from the business side a couple days ago. And that was great, too, because, I think in a perfect organization, the baseball side and the business side kind of work together, and especially with a team that has such a tight connection to the city, I think that becomes even more critical. So that was another impression that I had from the outside that I think was validated, which is this organization, you know, isn't just about baseball, and people are passionate about the broader mission as well.
Art Spander on the Sports Exchange. You were talking about the Giants winning the World Series, which they did. The Dodgers did everything but win the World Series. What was your response to that? Ever, you know, dominated the National League and yet didn't get to the final goal?
Yeah. Response was just total heartbreak, I guess. I mean, I don't know how else you say it. I did. And there was certainly the narrative out there that, our last 2 World Series runs were thwarted by analytics. And I, saw on Twitter today that, Dave Dombrowski was talking about how the Red Sox were planning on beefing up their analytics department this offseason. And I thought, man, I wish they had done that before the World Series. Maybe it would have thwarted their World Series to have a strong analytics department. So, I will. If you get to the World Series every year, I'll take my chances. And we played a couple of really special, worthy opponents that were deserving of winning those series. Baseball is a crazy game. I think even looking back at this 5-game series with the Red Sox, people almost talked like it was fate for them and that it wasn't that close. But I guess when you're on the losing end, you always think about 1 or 2 moments where things could have gone differently. There's a lot of emotion when you get deep in the playoffs and come up just short. And, a lot of that was felt. And, it's part of what makes it bittersweet moving on from that organization that had those aspirations and kind of coming up short. And certainly a regret that I have. But, again, I think, if you can get to that doorstep every year, you'll take your chances.
You are listening to the Farhan Zaidi introductory press conference live on 95.7 The Game.
State of the contracts, the depth chart, where I think we need to maybe add some reinforcements to the team, you know, what kind of configurations, lineup-wise, platoon-wise, pitching rotation-wise, bullpen-wise, might make the most sense. But, again, it's sort of day one, so pretty early in that process. But, you know, I'm looking forward, again, to getting opinions from Brian and the rest of his group, you know, and really everybody involved with this baseball operation on where they think things are and where we can potentially get better. But I have a ton of respect for, you know, the group of players that's still here and all they've accomplished.
Hello, my name is Manolo Hernandez Duen. Congratulations. You had a pretty successful career with both the Athletics and the Dodgers. Could you talk a little bit about what are the things that you learned from those organizations that might help you now with the Giants?
You know, I think a theme that we had from a player acquisition standpoint in particular was, you know, no move is too small to not be worth, you know, a certain level of effort and detail. You know, waiver claims, minor league free agents, you know, second or third players in trades. You know, there's a lot of value to be had in identifying talent in those regards. And, you know, again, talent identification is key. And, you know, there are many ways to do that. Having a strong scouting staff is obviously important. Having a strong analytics department is important. I mean, you know, when you're a franchise like the San Francisco Giants and you're at that stature, your goal should be to be the best at everything. It shouldn't be a choice of analytics or scouting or something else. So, again, I think, you know, ideally what we have is a special level of diligence, not just with some of the big picture moves that we've touched on already today, but making sure we don't leave any stone unturned in, you know, picking up players, you know, that might not make headline news when we acquire them, but wind up being really impactful players for this organization.
Well, I have a couple just because I have control of the mic. Farhan, just based on what you said earlier about the difficulty of getting permissions for front office talent this time of year, first question is there a chance you won't hire a GM this year and we'll just sort of go with, you know, people that you have and maybe start over next year when you have the whole group?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible. It's not the ideal. And, you know, in a perfect world, I think we find that person, identify them, get through a permission process and, you know, find a mutual fit. And it's Larry and I have talked a lot about that. It's certainly a goal because we have a lot of work to do. And, you know, being in that kind of setup with the Dodgers, I can appreciate the value of having, you know, a couple people taking on that responsibility. But again, it's really going to be a function of, you know, how the process goes from here.
Okay, and the second one, and this is for both of you because I like keeping Larry involved. it was reported that your contract is for 5 years. Farhan, was that important to you given where the state of the franchise is right now and the possibility that it may take time to build it back up to a championship-caliber team? And Larry, that, I mean, I could be wrong, but I think that's the long, if that's true, if that number is true, it's the longest contract that I think you've given out to a member of the front office. And I was wondering on your thoughts on that.
I think Brian and others have operated in that length 5 years or in around 5 years, 5-6 years. But no, I think, you know, we wanted to Farhan to come in and really, you know, put together the blueprint. And we know what the record's been the last 2 years. We wanted to, you know, change as quickly as possible. But he's the trained eye, and the staff that he's going to be working with are the trained eyes to determine how quickly it will change. And, you know, 5 years seemed to be about the right order of magnitude to, you know, to a runway. And if it changes in year one, that's great. But, you know, you got to deal with the art of the possible. Just a reference to discussion about GM. It seems like in discussions with Farhan and with others through this process in the last month or so, I think the industry seems to be evolving because there's so much more complicated with all the international work and the scouting, additional analytics, et cetera, that sort of the two at the top model is seemed to be becoming a best practice. It's not the only way to do it. There are exceptions, successful franchises that don't do it that way. But I think we're in alignment that that is more or less a best practice.
Hey, Farhan. Chuck Nevius from the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. This is a lovely ballpark, but it's kind of quirky, and we don't see as many home runs here as we see in a lot of other ballparks. I'm wondering what you think about building a roster to fit a ballpark.
Yeah, you know, that was one of the topics of conversation with Brian the other day, and I obviously really appreciated his take on it. I think it's important. I mean, you know, you're trying to create every advantage that you can, and you know, if you can create a roster of players that is particularly conducive to your ballpark and, you know, plays to the potential advantages it creates, you know, that's great. I mean, you got to keep in mind you've got to go on the road 81 times a year, and you want to make sure you have a team that's capable of playing and succeeding in different environments. But, you know, again, if we're going to start going around from sport to sport, baseball is, you know, probably the major professional sport where there's the least pervasive home field advantage, and that could be for a lot of reasons, but if you can create that, then it's certainly a huge advantage, and there certainly are a lot of idiosyncrasies of this ballpark that that you know should be factored in as you start going out there and identifying players.
Okay, we'll take three more questions. Right here.
Farhan, welcome. Kerry Crowley, Bay Area News Group. You talk about wanting to play meaningful baseball as deep into the season as possible. How important is it to you to make significant changes to the roster this offseason to be able to do that right away?
Yeah, you know, I think if you look back at the 2018 season, you know, this was a team that, you know, was playing competitive baseball until some of the injuries really started you know, side railing those efforts. So, you know, I guess as you start thinking what the next season can look like and maybe projecting better health, you know, and the improvement of some of the young guys that were brought along in 2018, you don't really want to throw the baby out with the bathwater by kind of over-indexing on how the injuries affected the team's performance. So I think that's going to be all stuff to consider. I think you can have, you know, teams with a certain record that you say we need to do a lot, and then you can also have teams where you say, hey, this same roster with better health and some better fortune, you know, could really turn that record around. So I think that's something we're going to have to think through going forward.
Farhan, Larry Krueger, KMBR Radio. I'm just kind of wondering, since this news became public in the last 24 hours, has your phone rung yet from any opposing GMs, you know, looking, having interest in any of your new players?
Oh, I thought you were going to say were
without
they,
naming
were they
names
to congratulate me, but it's the question is more where the piranhas out. No, I think everybody's following decorum of making the congratulatory phone call or text first, and then trying to steal good players from each other. You know, my plan is actually to head down to Carlsbad later tonight and hopefully start some of those meetings. I know Jeremy Shelley and Yishai Goldfarb are down there already, holding the fort, taking meetings with other teams and with free agents, and I've had a chance to connect with them a little bit. I'm looking forward to getting down there myself. I obviously, you know, not just professionally, but have personal relationships with a lot of the guys that are down there, and it's been a little bit of a weird week for me with, you know, everything that's happened in the last few days, and that'll bring some normalcy, I think to things. So, you know, that order of business is very imminent.
Okay, last question off the left here, John.
Hi, Farhan. John Dickinson from 95.7, the game here in San Francisco. As you've started to look at the roster that you're inheriting, what do you like about the roster, and what maybe stands out off the top where you say to yourself, boy, this has to change?
Yeah. You know, the number one thing that stands out to me, and I guess it's something that I was meaning to touch on in the opening remarks and neglected to, was, you know, the importance of selfless play in baseball. you know, we're in kind of a baseball culture, especially at the amateur level, where you know, there's a little bit of a showcase culture, and you know, there's a lot of emphasis on the individual performance over the team. And I think when you can create a culture where players put the team above the individual, that can be a real differentiator and a real competitive advantage. In baseball is a sport where 90% of the time the individual's goal and the team's goal align. You're up there trying to get a hit. That's good for you. That's good for the team. But the times when you need to move a runner over, and there are times when you just need to have a long at-bat to tire out the opposing pitcher. And, you know, I've seen a lot of the guys on this team play for a long time, and, you know, they have that spirit in spades. And I think that is a big reason for the success that this organization has had. You know, I think more generally, adding a little youth to the roster, a little more athleticism to kind of complement some of that culture of selflessness, you know, that would be the ideal combination, where you have kind of the athleticism and, you know, a really positive team mindset. You know, on the pitching, I think we're, you know, the bullpen is obviously an area of great strength. The starting rotation with the injuries, there are potentially some areas where we may look to reinforce things. But I do know, kind of going through the farm system, there are some terrific young arms that are coming up. And I'm looking forward to getting to know a little bit more about them and their timetables, because that's obviously going to factor greatly into the next couple of years.
Okay.